a lot of people say like affirmative action isn't just for, in the case of Black and Indigenous communities, just for the poor. And I think that's the difference between Asians and affirmative action and Black and Indigenous people in affirmative action, is that when Asians reach a certain socioeconomic status, we are granted proximity to whiteness. And that doesn't happen with Black people or Indigenous people. And I think that's therein lies the difference of how I believe affirmative action should be used depending on who you are.
Dear Asian Girl, for Asian girls, by Asian girls. Hey everyone, this is Alina, and I'm here with Jen and a very special guest, Anu. And today we are going to be talking about affirmative action. And also, welcome to season two. I don't know if this is going to be the first episode of season two or not, but welcome to season two of Dear Asian Girl. Thank you guys for listening to season one. As you guys know, I have no idea what episode this is, so I can't tell you what episode this is, but I'm sure you already know. So let's get straight into it. We're going to be talking about affirmative action and the uncomfortable conversations regarding affirmative action and low-key the anti-Blackness and the pinning of people of color together in affirmative action. So with that being said, Jen, do you have any first thoughts on this? Anu, do you have any thoughts on this just like immediately off the bat?
So I'm not too knowledgeable about affirmative action. It's always been something I've wanted to learn, and with this conversation with Alina and Anu, I think this is the perfect opportunity to learn, since both of you are super knowledgeable on the topic, and I feel like I'm just going to learn a lot in this conversation, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Alina hit the nail on the head when she mentioned anti-Blackness. I think a lot of our conversation regarding affirmative action, that's what it's going to come down to, is the uncomfortable conversation about anti-Blackness in the Asian community and what that means for all these lawsuits that are happening surrounding affirmative action, where Asian families often get involved, and what that means for both the larger Asian community, but also the white community, and how different groups come together and play their part in this interesting but definitely awkward dynamic within the larger people of color umbrella.
Yeah, no, completely. And I think, so as for me, I'm not very, like, I'm not the most familiar with affirmative action. Honestly, the majority of my understanding of it comes from Patriot Act, that one episode Hasan Minhaj did. And I feel like, honestly, I'm really upset, by the way, that they canceled the show, but that's like another issue that I have. But I think that episode covers a lot of the information. I will be referring to a lot of the data in this episode that comes from that, or that comes from that show. So I would definitely check out the episode that I'm referring to. But for those who do not know what affirmative action is, to give you some context, it essentially began in 1961 as an initiative from the government in order to offer opportunities and support to groups that were historically excluded. So this includes BIPOC individuals, specifically Black and Indigenous people. And so it essentially is in relation to like allocation, resources, employment. And so this can be seen as support for getting into universities or in the workplace. So this already, just by this description, it's obviously a slippery slope. I think if it's not clarified what affirmative action is, a lot of people can take it as something that it's not. And Anu already mentioned this, but at the end of the day, everything that's related to affirmative action and the issues that Asian community sees with it comes from roots of anti-Blackness. And so it's definitely a very controversial topic in the Asian community, I find. So yeah, I think we're going to get into a lot of this stuff, but I think one thing that I want to mention is affirmative action is a race conscious policy. It's not a race like prioritization policy, if that makes sense. But yeah, so do you guys have any thoughts on that in regards to like anti-Blackness and its like relation to affirmative action that you guys kind of want to mention?
I think personally, from the way the description is placed, I definitely think it could be misconstrued. And definitely the way, if not established correctly, can have a crap ton of backlash for sure. And I definitely think depending on how you perceive it, it could be seen as a good thing, but it could also be seen as a bad thing. From, I know some cases, I know the recent like Harvard versus like the Asian community. Yep, you have that in the stats. That's definitely—
I'm prepared, you know, I'm prepared. No kidding.
She's right there with me. But Anya, do you want to like elaborate more on that?
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say affirmative action as a policy is not perfect, 100%. There are a lot of gripes that I have with it, for sure. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But I think personally for me, I feel like I'm in sort of a unique position because I am a first generation US college student. I'm part of the educational opportunity program at my university, which is for not only low income students, but also first generation students. And I'm also Asian, I'm an Indian American. And so oftentimes there's this notion that Asians get hurt because of affirmative action. And whether that's true or not, it really comes back to, okay, well, even if I do get hurt by affirmative action, why should I be getting hurt? Because I'm a first generation student. I don't necessarily have the benefits that the larger Asian community have. But I think from that position, I have this unique perspective of, well, what makes affirmative action powerful and useful despite the potential harm it may have on the Asian community? And I think it goes into a lot of how is affirmative action even set up? And again, like, what are the cons of it? I want to go into that a little bit more later because there's a lot to unpack there. So I guess I'll give it back to Alina. What are your thoughts when I talk about like affirmative action and like, what are your thoughts basically on, as an Asian American, on affirmative action and now as a junior going through the college process?
So I think that's really interesting because I definitely see the pros and cons with affirmative action. And I think one thing that's really important to mention is the biggest bad part of affirmative action that I see is the fact that we even need it to like exist, considering like how historically oppressed communities have been. I should like rephrase that, but essentially I think even just the idea of needing to have something like affirmative action is unbelievable. And that goes to show how affected these minority communities have been, that we need the support system to get them into these colleges that are historically racially homogenous and most of the time privileged white people. And I think it's a good thing at the same time because it's supporting these communities that are very limited in resources. And I think honestly, on the broader scale of colleges and universities and college process, as someone who's going through the college process right now, and as an Asian American, I come from a large privileged background because I'm able to afford things that help me get into colleges in regards to SAT prep, challenging courses, college counselors, extracurriculars. I have funding that's coming from my parents that's able to support me to get into these colleges. And I think that's tied into this idea of affirmative action because we need this to get these historically oppressed groups into colleges and in the workplace. But I think in order to fix this issue, we need to look at the root of this. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to help you get into college. You need to look at the support system and the resources that they need to have to get into college. And it's like this whole idea of like, I don't know, I'm going to fuck up the saying, guys, I'm sorry, but it's like, what is it? It's like, teach a man to fish and he like has, yeah, you know, the thing, it's like, if you give a man a fish, he's like fed for one night. If you teach him to fish, he's like fed forever, whatever. I messed it up. I'm sorry, white people. I don't know y'all sayings, but I think that's kind of what Jen is losing. I think that goes to show, it's like, if you make the SAT and the standardized prep courses more accessible, if you make rigorous high schools more accessible, if you make courses more accessible, college counselors more accessible to people who are underprivileged, which is majority of the time BIPOC communities, that way you will find a higher acceptance rate of these people into colleges. But with that being said, I do still think affirmative action is beneficial. That was like really long rant, but hopefully that like kind of clarifies like my mindset on this.
No, I like what you're saying about how not only does it start with just trying to get into college, but trying to get that education that you need in order to be beneficial later on in life, because I definitely agree in some parts where you need that better SAT. I mean, the SAT was literally meant to racially divide people. It was literally meant for the white people in order to do well. It was sort of validated through that. And I just want to talk about sort of similar to that. I know Alina was mentioning about like the education system, and like that's how it's really established, is there's like a term that everyone really knows. It's called the school to prison pipeline, in which you're like, I guess I don't really know how to describe it. It's like starts with high levels of like suspension to expulsions, especially for the Black community in those communities, especially with the teachers. I know for a main fact that is. And as a result, that sort of leads to why we shouldn't, like why, like what Alina mentioned before, like why should we have affirmative action in the first place? We should go to the root of the problem, which is starting off in those elementary schools, those preschools, those communities like kindergarten, to set that well-established that, hey, you can do this, you're able to go through these good colleges, not through just affirmative action. And even though it is super beneficial, I definitely believe there it could be better, like just starting from the ground up.
100%, and I completely agree. And that's actually one of the gripes that I have with affirmative action, is that it's not a perfect solution because it's only a Band-Aid. It doesn't, like you guys both were saying, it doesn't go to the root of the problem. It doesn't fix the actual issues of accessibility and equity. However, as a Band-Aid solution itself, it, while it does do a good job overall, I think the main issue that it comes down to, especially in regards to the Asian community, is that it treats all Asians as homogenous. And that's the main gripe that I have with it. Asia as a continent is huge. And even within Asia, there's South Asia, Southeast Asia, West, Central, you know, all these different parts of Asia, that, and all of the people that come to the US from these different parts of Asia all have, and even then I'm generalizing, but they all have generally different backgrounds or means of coming in. For example, a lot of the Vietnamese immigrants that come to the US came as refugees because of the Vietnam War. It's like this cyclical issue of how they came to the US. So their background is going to be completely different than the average Indian that comes to America. They came because they have the means to come to America, and you know, they generally are more privileged. And so to compare different types of Asians to each other in their journey to the US and their background is just not, it doesn't work properly in that way. And I think that's where affirmative action really starts to hurt Asians, is that of course no two people of any race are going to be exactly similar, but as a race, Asians are too often conflated with each other, and affirmative action only furthers that in a way that's completely problematic to the Asian community. However, in my opinion, if you're being hurt by affirmative action, as in, oh, like you come from a privileged background and so you're being knocked down or whatever the terminology is, at least this is what I was taught and this is what I feel, it's your job to give back in a way. I don't know if the phrasing is correct there, but what I'm trying to say is when you have more, it's okay. Like you have all this privilege and this background of being, like you said, Alina, to be able to afford SAT prep and standardized testing, like even just being able to take the SAT and AP courses, et cetera, et cetera. So for you to be like, there's always a statistic like, oh, if you're Asian and you take the SAT, you actually have to score like 100 something points more for it to count the same as a white person. But even if that were the case, you already had the benefit of getting that higher score than a Black person or someone who's Native American. Essentially, to create a more equitable society, sometimes that means giving up privileges. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. So if you have the privilege of getting a higher SAT score or being able to access, like, I don't know, AP tests or any sort of like extracurricular sport or anything, sometimes that means that you give up the privilege of being treated equally in the college race. And I think that's okay, ultimately, because that's what creating an equitable society is about. And if we really want to get to the root of our issue, sometimes that means giving something up that we already have. But that doesn't always mean that schools like Harvard, Yale, or any Ivy League school is utilizing affirmative action properly.
So yeah, like what Anu was saying, I think the term Band-Aid is very applicable because, first of all, it's important to address the roots of where systemic racism and oppression is being further perpetuated and further oppressing these minority communities. But I also think, like what you said about how we are privileged and come from a certain standpoint and have to kind of give up certain privileges in order to have an equitable society, is very applicable because, as I mentioned earlier on, we are taking this, we as in the Asian community, and I know not everyone does this, but we are taking this in a negative direction. It is not the Black community's fault. It is not the Indigenous community's fault that they are getting into colleges and, in air quotes, we aren't, or they are getting these spots and, in air quotes, we aren't. Because the truth is we are getting into these colleges. And if, and I'm going to pull up these stats real quick from the episode that I was talking about, but we make up, and this is from like 2019, I believe, we make up 4.8% of the population, but last year we were 22.2% of Harvard's admitted class. That is a large amount of their admitted class. And obviously Asian people are like, yeah, but we need to be 100% admitted. Like, no, you have to be reasonable. Like, so I think the reason that I'm mentioning this statistic is we are taking this in the negative direction and we are using this affirmative action, which is a tool that we did not implement. We didn't implement this. We are using this as a way to further like attack other BIPOC communities, which is not relevant in this case at all. And I think it goes down to that whole idea of pinning people of color against one another in order for the benefit of white people. And Jen, you mentioned this earlier in the recording, but this Harvard and actually let me like address this first. There was a case that everyone really knows about. It was Harvard was being sued by a group of Asian students for prioritizing other minority communities over them in their admissions process. So I don't know if this is an ongoing case. I believe it is. But this is important because this whole case was being run by a white man. And let me pull up this man's name so I can call him out real quick. His name is Edward Bloom. And so he is, his role is very significant in this idea of affirmative action because he is using Asian students who did not get into Harvard, who didn't get into these Ivy colleges, to be the face of pinning people of color against one another. And what I mean is this guy, Edward Bloom, he runs this organization called Students for Fair Admissions, and they're the ones who are suing Harvard and other Ivy League schools for discrimination against Asian and white students, in air quotes, white students. So this man literally is taking Asian students who did not get into their top choice or whatever, and grouping them with white students and saying that they are being discriminated against. So hopefully I'm being clear here, but I think what I'm trying to say is affirmative action, and part of it is the Asian community's fault. We can't be attacking the other minority communities just because we didn't get into a college. It doesn't work like that. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on this or if you're familiar with the Harvard case, but I think that's kind of one example that I wanted to bring up about another issue that comes with affirmative action.
I think in terms of the Harvard case, it all comes just down to checking your privilege and who you are as an individual. Because as we've mentioned all before, in terms of like the Asian community, we are privileged in the sort of sense that we have these access to these SAT books. We have access to all these things that are granted to us. And the stereotype pinned against us is we are already well known and already so smart that it's sort of hard to really, like, I think it all just comes down to, as you mentioned before, just the anti-Blackness in the community and sort of like the why didn't I get accepted? Why didn't I get this? But when it comes to the bottom line of it, you still have all these privileges and you had all these necessities to get you in. Then I guess it was you that didn't get in for the most part. And I think in terms of like the anti-Blackness in the community, I think it all stems down to just not, because I know majority of the Asian community is so anti-Black, and like I think especially I think a statistic that I was reading into is even in the workspace, if you have a Black sounding name, you're 4 times less likely to be called for a job interview. And I bet that probably applies to the college admissions process, because as we may know, the college admissions process is mostly consists of white community. I've literally seen like the Harvard committee board and it's majority white. So there definitely comes that anti-blackness and that anti, like,
I completely agree with all of you, both of you guys. And I think exactly, I think there needs to be, like you were saying, Alina, there is a disproportionate amount of Asians, like, for example, in the Harvard class. However, I want to take this a couple steps deeper. One, let's talk about the Harvard lawsuit. And I think the main thing that the lawsuit hinges upon is the interview, the personality ratings. So basically what they're trying to say is that affirmative action is hurting Asians, because when you look at the personalities, so when Harvard does their interviews, they give each student a personality rating. And Asians were consistently scoring lower than white people and also other minorities. And that's not okay. First and foremost, that's not okay. However, that one personality rating is not the determining factor of who gets into college. So, like, overall, like, yeah, that's not cool, but that's not what affirmative action is entirely. Number two, even though 22% of Harvard's undergraduate class is Asians, we have to consider, again, who are those Asians? They're wealthy, predominantly East and South Asian students, and also a huge chunk of them are international students. And here's the thing, international students that can go to college in the US also tend to be extremely wealthy international students. Only a few international students that come to the US for college are from disadvantaged backgrounds, and they work extremely, extremely hard to be able to get a full ride into these colleges. So, but that's, again, a very small portion. And I think that's where my gripe with affirmative action, but also my gripe with the Asian community, comes into play. The reason why I think affirmative action is beneficial, but also something that needs to be worked on, is, again, the fact that, like I was saying earlier, we group all these different ethnicities of Asian together. When, again, like, the stereotype of, oh, all Asians are like this wealthy, privileged class in the US does not always hold, because even if we look at, like, the socioeconomic status of Asians, we comprise of both the wealthiest, but also the poorest. There is a huge gap in the socioeconomic status of Asians in the US. And I think that's where the mistake is in these wealthy universities like Harvard and Yale and Stanford or whatever, and in the way that they utilize affirmative action, in that, yeah, I think really privileged Asians, and they have the background to be able to get into these colleges without an affirmative action boost, but not all Asians. And I think those that are actually truly from disadvantaged backgrounds should be included in the affirmative action boost. But that's not happening right now. And I think basically California was voting on whether to allow affirmative action, because the UC schools are actually not allowed to use affirmative action. But here's the thing, and I speak to UC Berkeley, 40% of UC Berkeley is Asian. However, again, it's predominantly international, Chinese, and South Asian students that make up this 40% of UC Berkeley's background. And there were a lot of Asian people in my community that were really annoyed. They were passing out flyers like, oh, vote against this proposition. We don't want affirmative action. But here's the thing, if you actually look at the text of the proposition, they include Asians in that text. And they say, oh, we want Asians to be included in affirmative action, but we want to make it more equitable so that Asians of all socioeconomic status, of all backgrounds, can actually make it into college, not just the stereotypical Asian, the model minority Asian that comes from a privileged background. But instead, like you guys were saying, this notion of, oh, affirmative action hurts all Asians and we can't be the ones that need to go, hurts, ends up becoming like the leading thought, the leading story. And all of this, like you were saying, is spread by white people, frankly. Affirmative action using Asians, privileged Asians, pinned against Black people, despite the fact that it hurts Asians, it doesn't hurt the Asians that are actually speaking out against it, is really just a tool of white supremacy. It's really just white people being like, oh, affirmative action isn't benefiting us, it's benefiting Black people, it's benefiting Indigenous people. And since we hold the privileged Asian in proximity to whiteness, we're going to use the privileged Asians to speak out against affirmative action, even though in some cases, affirmative action, especially the way that it was written in California, can actually be used to help Asian Americans that don't have the privileged background that oftentimes the general white person going to college does. And I think that's where my gripe comes in with affirmative action and the anti-Blackness specific to California's proposition, because that's what I know best when it comes to affirmative action. And that's what I'm still so annoyed by, that over the summer that we could have had affirmative action that helps Asian Americans that didn't have the chance to go to college, and instead Asian Americans that come from wealthy suburbs are speaking out against it, even though they could have helped their own. That's what annoys me the most. Do I think Harvard is using affirmative action properly? No, not necessarily, because like I said, they're again grouping all Asian Americans together, and they are hurting Asian Americans, like for example, Vietnamese, Cambodian, Laotian, that don't always have the chance to get into college. But in states like the UC in California, where the UC system was taking the initiative to help disproportionately hurt Asian Americans, those that were privileged knocked their own down a peg. That's what I'm annoyed
about. No, honestly, go Anu, that was amazing, because literally, I think you stated it so well, because I was gonna mention, it definitely contributes, this kind of contributes to the whole idea of model minority myth. And we have an episode on this, but we talk about it in every episode because it's so applicable to literally everything we talk about. Because this whole idea of model minorities comes from the white, white people literally coming up with the stereotype for the Asian community in order to show them as privileged and not as people who face systemic oppression. Granted, we don't face the like rate of oppression or the extensiveness of the oppression that the Black and Indigenous community face, because that's a more historic thing based in the US, but we do have our own forms of systemic oppression and racism, all of those that were implemented by white people in order to pin people of color against one another. And I think what you said about international students making up the majority, and also privileged Asian students making up the majority of the diversity, in air quotes, of these college campuses is so true, because as I mentioned, I know several Asian people who come from a very low socioeconomic background, and these people are the ones who are working so hard to get into these colleges, but it is their own people, their own kind, that are the ones who are pushing them further and further away from their goals and further away from being accepted into these colleges, because it's the privileged Asians, that think they are oppressed. Of course, you face some form of systemic racism, but the socioeconomic background and standing in class that you have protects you from the majority of the issues that people with a low socioeconomic background face. And so with that being said, I think your example of the UC system and what happened in California and how they didn't vote for affirmative action just makes me so angry, because it helps and benefits Asians. And granted, of course, it doesn't help us in a very efficient way, but just because we aren't the ones who are getting to these colleges doesn't mean it is our job to target and attack the Black and Indigenous community. Sorry, my dog just opened the door. That was so weird. But yeah, so I completely agree with what you were saying. And I think it so many different factors play into this, and mainly, and obviously race plays into this. This is like a race-based, policy, but so does socioeconomic standing and the amount of wealth that you have and the amount of privilege that you have and where you come from. So I think in my sense, obviously I'm just talking about all of the problems, but I guess solution-wise, I think we need affirmative action is helpful in certain ways. We need to just work on it and adapt it so it is more inclusive and more accepting and considerate of economic backgrounds as well. And as we mentioned, also look at the root of the problem. This is just a band-aid to fixing history of oppression that BIPOC have faced.
I 100% agree exactly what you were talking about, Anu, because I think what the Asian community fails to realize it does is that there's an extreme education disparity between different types of Asians that we fail to recognize. I'm just going to give a little statistics here. Filipino Americans have a low poverty rate of 6.7. Bangladesh Americans have a poverty rate between 26 to 28, and that is surpassing Blacks and Hispanics. And so there's also this like extreme education disparity. And we have lower acceptance rate because we are seen as the overrepresented minority group in the U.S. in terms of higher education because of those extreme privileged Asian, typically, not to stereotype, East Asian students. So I think why it's so good to have affirmative action is for those underrepresented Asian minority groups that are experiencing those levels of poverty rates and lack of education. And another statistic that I want to point out here is 1/3 Asians lack proficiency in reading, writing, and speaking skills. So that kind of shows like that's like a good majority of Asians that still don't have access to these resources. And I think it comes in with the stereotype that Asians are naturally excelling in math and science. And so this discourages Asian Americans from other ethnicities in terms of Asia that we are seen as this sort of model minority myth. And as a result, like we're sort of limited to ourselves because of that of those privileged Asians that are already there, if that makes any sense.
Always the argument that, oh, why isn't affirmative action just based on socioeconomic status? And I can hear some people already thinking that. Here's the thing. This is the example that I always use, okay? So let's say a Black person is incredibly wealthy, you know, and they have a family and they're able to give their family all the money in the world to do what they need. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Black person had the best education growing up. You know, a Black person can become, or anybody, for example, but I'm using a Black person in this scenario, in this hypothetical, they could have become rich because of their business, because of a business that they have. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they went through like a private school education or had college counselors or had the best SAT score. There are plenty of ways to gain a certain socioeconomic status without having like an educational background that people assume you have when you are rich. So yeah, they can get their child whatever they need to, you know, SAT testing, you know, AP classes, whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have legacy status or that they can provide their child with the knowledge that they need to get into these colleges when they need advising. And that's what affirmative action helps with, even if you are of a higher socioeconomic status, is that some groups in America have historically been denied a proper education. And even if you are rich and even if you do have money to throw at whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have the historical social capital or the knowledge, the educational knowledge that you need to help your child or to help like anybody, like to help your child or your niece or your nephew or whoever get into college. And affirmative action makes sure to say, oh, you might not have had the best essays or you might not be a legacy, but you're still gonna get in because you have done the work. And a lot of people say like affirmative action isn't just for, in the case of Black and Indigenous communities, just for the poor. And I think that's the difference between Asians and affirmative action and Black and Indigenous people in affirmative action is that when Asians reach a certain socioeconomic status, we are granted proximity to whiteness. And that doesn't happen with Black people or Indigenous people. And I think that's, therein lies the difference of how I believe affirmative action should be used depending on who you are. Privileged Asians, because they are granted whiteness, do not necessarily need an affirmative action boost. That same argument can't be made for Asians that don't have the same socioeconomic status or don't necessarily have the same educational background. However, when it comes to Black and Indigenous people, regardless of your socioeconomic status, you are not granted whiteness. And therefore, you don't necessarily have the same educational background that will allow your children or whoever to get into the colleges that you want or that they want, is what I mean. And I think that's the argument that I always use. Like, money does not necessarily mean education or social capital. And that's where affirmative action helps Black and Indigenous communities. And I think that's where the Asian community, specifically the privileged Asian community, gets so annoyed, because the privileged Asian community and is afforded whiteness, they are annoyed that despite their day-to-day interactions and how they're treated, that doesn't give them the boost of affirmative action, because they believe, oh, we're still a minority, we should be treated just like Black and Indigenous people. But they fail to consider that we aren't granted whiteness.
No, but I did have another thought in which I was thinking about in terms of legacy. I think that's something that we do need to address in terms of those Ivy League schools instead of affirmative action. I think that it should be shifted from the topic of legacy, because that is coming from that white supremacy in which it's like a built up construct. I know for a fact, like, multiple, in terms of the acceptance rate for Harvard and all those admissions, it mostly comes from legacy and those money donors and those alumni associations and everything that comes from it. And I think affirmative action, that's why I think it's so beneficial, in which you can not have that economic status, you cannot have that, but still be granted such a higher education. And I think that's what extremely is lacking in those Ivy League schools, is they fail to recognize that, and they fail to do it so well because of those legacies and because of those monies. And that builds into my topic of how, why I hate capitalism and why I hate universities, in which it's a money-making business at the end of the day. Harvard is still a money-making business. They take everyone's money away. So at the end of the day, I agree with what Anya was saying, talking about legacy and talking about how, in terms of like the social economic status, it still isn't applicable, because at the end of the day, I love what she said, basically how in terms of the Black community, you could still be granted all this social economic status. You can have this. I know, for example, even Barack Obama, when he was placed in the highest seat of power, he still was discriminated against. He was still with everything. So it just comes to show how privileged some of us Asians are due to sort of this model minority myth and due to everything that's been addressed and all the stuff that we do have. I think it comes to show that we need to recognize that privilege, especially for those privileged Asians. But then also, if we're going back to those Asians with not that privilege, I think it's such a good way for affirmative action. So that's why affirmative action, I think, is such a tricky topic and such a hard thing to really perfect, because it will never be, as you mentioned before, it will always be a band-aid. There's nothing that can truly solve it unless we start from the ground up. So I sort of have a question for you. What is your solution to this problem? Like, what do you think is the best way to sort of handle it?
I was just gonna mention real quick, but I think before I address your question, I think one thing that you said, Jen, that's like really significant, and I've mentioned this before in different episodes, but it's important to stress it, especially in this one, considering affirmative action is oftentimes the Asian community takes it as a way to attack other minority communities, is we're very privileged that our stereotype is, like, in air quotes, a positive stereotype. Granted, it does put us in different and difficult situations, but for example, the Black and Indigenous community, their stereotypes are oftentimes very much more negative than the Asian community. And like, this goes to say, like, so for the Black community, they are perceived as ghetto thugs, whatever, drug dealers. Same with the Indigenous community, they're seen as savages, like, you know. So I think what I'm trying to say is this whole idea of model minority myth, yes, it does affect us, but we are very privileged that our stereotype is not a negative connotation and isn't negatively implied to the extent of where it has historically oppressed us for 400 years. So I think that also is applicable to affirmative action, because, again, we've already mentioned this, but international and very wealthy Asian students are using affirmative action as a way to say, oh, you're targeting me, when in reality, it's not hurting you in any way. It's helping people of your race and your ethnicity with less privileges. As for a solution, oh my God, I don't know. I'm literally just shit talking affirmative action in Harvard and saying it's horrible. But I do think affirmative action is good. I've mentioned this. I think it's helpful. And I think you just need to apply it properly, and you need to look at different factors. And I think the solution comes from looking at the root of the problem of why we aren't getting BIPOC individuals into colleges and where there are limited resources for them. So I think we need to start at the roots. And also in regards to it being a Band-Aid, I think looking at different factors in the application process is important. But yeah, so also one more thing, Harvard, if you're listening to this, I would still like to go to your school. Not that I just shit talked to you this entire episode, but I would still like to be accepted. So yeah. but yeah, no, I don't know. Anu, do you have any thoughts on like solutions? I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, here's the thing. We can say solutions, but obviously it can't be fixed in the snap of a finger. But when I think solutions to affirmative action or solutions to, yeah, I guess solutions to affirmative action and the issues caused by affirmative action or whatever. One, we need, like both you, Alina, and Genesis were saying, we need to start at the very bottom. We need to start at preschool, we need to start at kindergarten, we need to start at elementary school, middle school, high school. And we need to go into the underserved, underinvested school districts and make sure that resources are being allocated where they have the same technology, the same textbooks, the same teachers, like the level of teachers that schools in suburbs do. And I think that's where I'm really thankful for, because the thing is, yeah, I'm a first generation college student, but I went to school in a suburb. And that's what really helped me. Like, I didn't have a college counselor, but I had great counselors at the high school that I went to that helped me so much that I didn't need a college counselor. And I had great teachers that helped me with my essays. So I didn't have a person, like I didn't go to a service that helped me with my essays, but I had teachers that could. And that's what schools, underinvested, underserved districts don't have. They don't have teachers that can help you edit your essays or counselors that can help you get the job done, because they're just stretched too thin. They don't have the money, like they're not being paid enough to do these things on top of their actual jobs. So money needs to go into these districts so that they have the technology and the personnel to actually help students apply to college, instead of saying like, oh, as long as you graduate from high school, you're good to go. Like, we don't need to do anything more than that. Number two, going back to your point, Jen, about legacy, we need to stop focusing on affirmative action. I think that in and of itself is a solution, because when we stop focusing on affirmative action, then we start focusing on bigger issues like legacy. Legacy precludes students from getting into college way more than affirmative action ever does and ever will. If I remember correctly, I might be saying, this might be slightly off, but I think like 35% of Harvard's freshman class, like I think of last year or something, was legacy. Like more than a third. That's insane. When you consider that Harvard's Black population is, Harvard's Black population is only like 15% or something. Even if we consider that all of them only got in on affirmative action, which is not even the case, right? That's still insane. That 15% compared to 30, 35, 40%, I think it's 35, but it might be closer to 40, might be closer to 30. Regardless, that's a huge gap right there. We need to start focusing on legacy and policies like legacy that allow for so much of a gap, even in the students that do go to Harvard or Yale or whatever Ivy League, like private bougie school. Because when most of your class is like one percenters, right? Even the students that did get in on affirmative action don't have the resources to take advantage of Harvard. Whereas those that are one percenters, which make up a huge percentage of schools like Harvard and Yale and any other Ivy League, can kind of just coast by regardless. So I think focusing on policies like legacy is in and of itself a solution to affirmative action.
This episode episode was very fun, and thank you, Anu, for joining us. But before we wrap, do you have anything else you want to add? Anything y'all want to say?
Nothing that I want to say. I've had a lot of fun. We covered a lot of different topics, and we talked a lot. And I think it's interesting to see how everything we talked about sort of coincide together to become this bigger affirmative action conversation. And yeah, just keep listening to this podcast, you know, keep reading our articles and our poetry and everything, because Day covers a lot of cool stuff. So yeah, just plug Day.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, thank you, Anu, for joining us, guys. She's literally the coolest person ever. Like, I didn't really know her before this, but this was definitely one of the most engaging conversations that I've had. And I've learned a lot about affirmative action because I definitely came in not knowing a lot. But yeah, thank you both for joining us. And Jen, do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, as like Alina mentioned before, like, I kind of know about affirmative action, but it's always been a topic that I've always wanted to learn a little bit more. But Anu, like, taught us so much. Like, even now, I'm like, wow, like, now I feel more fired up about it. I'm more angry about it. So thank you so much for joining us on the episode. And it's really awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me.
Want more of Dear Asian Girl? You can find us everywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. We're on everything. Can't get enough? Subscribe, follow, rate, review to get all the updates on the latest at DAG. Let us know your feedback and what we can do to improve. We also can be found on Instagram. Follow us at Dear Asian Girl to receive updates about our latest episodes and fun facts about the host. We'd love for you to reach out. DAG, Dear Asian Girl, a podcast dedicated to share the stories of Asian girls everywhere. For the Asian girl, by the Asian girl.